That's pretty good.
Post show, it's the post show. This is the post show theme song. Blah, 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 blah.
Now, this is the band that Dave used to play in when he was in Philly.
Oh, okay.
Is it gonna say okay if like I say I like them better than the band he's in now?
I don't know. I guess he doesn't listen to that.
Okay.
It's Walker Lundy.
I like this. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you haven't heard their latest.
I've only heard like two songs, and they've only been from you going, hey, listen to this, but it just doesn't grab me. I support anyone doing their own thing, but it's not like I wouldn't be all into it. I don't like most stuff, though.
It's true.
Quite generalized.
Yeah, just in all areas of liking
things. I hate things.
I'm more of a hater.
I want to bring up something on the
post show. It's the post show theme
because
song.
I was reading your Twitter comments about the book probably not happening.
Yeah.
Well, and then just in open discussion.
Sure.
When I'm in Chicago, I went to two places that are like now like I'll always go to whenever I'm there. One of them is called Quimby's, which is a local bookstore.
It's not Quimby.
Yeah, it's not a chain. It's just one store, and I think it's associated with Chicago Comics. Both essentially very similar layouts. The whole like setup is very similar in how they run their show of like, you know, how the store set up. Anyway, they have a lot of independent people that do their own things. They write their own comics. They have their own sketchbook artworks and whatnot. All of their stuff, they have like they'll have all the Marvel, you know, the standard comic book stuff.
Uh-huh.
Then they have the like indie, you know, independent stuff.
Yeah.
And then they have another section that says like local, and it's totally Chicago because there are so many artists in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is an art town, like more so than anywhere else. And when you look at the stuff that they have, they'll have like little handmade. Not I want to say handmade. They're actually pretty well done. Probably should have bought a couple, but it's like they're like. They probably went to Kinko's, had their own stuff printed out.
Right.
Then, they had it, not cut, but they would, like, also, like, crease it down the middle, and then they probably put them together themselves.
Okay.
And then they would sign them and number them as if, like, one out of 50.
Sure.
And they would sell them for, I don't know, like, 25, 30 bucks.
That's too much.
But they're actually relatively pretty big.
Well, here's the
and
deal.
For what they're putting out, I'm like
that doesn't apply to me. Because here's the deal. Number one, I want to put together collections of the comic. The ideal is that the first collection would be the first 100 comics. The second collection would be the second 100 comics, and then every one of them after that would be each year. The reason it doesn't make any sense to do a year by year now is I only did half of 2007. So if you add 07 and 08, it makes two pretty decent sized books, about 120 pages each. That's great. I have tried every possible way I can think of to make my comics look good in black and white, and they just don't make sense.
These weren't in black and white.
No, listen to me.
These were in color.
I believe you. My comics do not work in black and white. I spend too much time on the color. Sometimes the jokes don't make sense if you can't see the color. So there's just no fucking point. Printing four-color process under 1,000 units is crazy expensive.
No, I know, because I used to do that. But what I'm saying is, if you do it a cheaper way, which is not
through... There is no cheaper way.
If you don't do it through a printer, like a real like four-color printer, like an actual print...
It's more expensive that way.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
You can maybe get them cheaper.
No.
Yeah, you can.
Absolutely not. I've already done all the research. It's impossible.
I might...
You can't perfect bind by yourself.
You
can't not perfect bind over 100 pages.
I might be able to prove you wrong. Not to, like, prove a point.
What would you bind it with? Your
mind? You staple bind it.
You can't staple 100 pages. Not possible.
It's not 100 pages. You're only printing, like,
I have no interest in doing 50-page books.
No. You fold it. It's half that.
No. 100 No. You can't do that. I'm not going to put out a subpar quality thing.
I think you kind of have to. That's my point.
I'm not going to.
Because I think your readers want it, and I think you can give it to them for cheaper.
No way.
Anybody who's listening to this, prove us wrong.
I am not doing a book that I would not be proud to have sitting on my shelf, and that sounds like crap.
No, but I'm saying this way you build equity towards making something better.
No, the book's going to be the book. I'm going to do it right, and I'm not going to do little mini comics that I print out. If I do mini comics, then it's going to be a mini comic, and it's going to be like, hey, do you not know about Hijinks and Sue? Here's the best 20 comics I've ever done. Check it out. And you give those away for free at conventions. You do not go, this is my first book. I made it at Kinko's. That is... That lowers the quality of your brand.
And I think that's what I liked about the city of Chicago was that there is a lot of people that do it that way to get going.
It's great, but I'm not going to do it because here's the thing. If I can pre-order, I have to order 500 books before it's financially feasible. I have to sell them for about $15, $16 a piece. If I pre-order 250, I can afford the other 250. And I'll have made $0. If I sell the other 250, then great. It's a nice little chunk of change, but I would probably only sell maybe 100. And then I'd be stuck with 400 books eating up my money, and it's just not feasible.
I see what you're saying, but I guess what I'm just saying is I think that the listeners, and particularly people that are listening to this right now because they're paying for it,
they want high quality.
That's not always true.
I'm not going to put my name on anything that I would not be proud of, ever.
If you make it big and this thing actually takes off and someone says, I own one of 50, like, very limited edition sort of things, there are people that care about that.
I guess.
And they would pay for it and they would help build equity They would know that they help get the actual book up and going.
That wouldn't make any money. It wouldn't matter. I wouldn't sell that for more than $5. It would probably cost $4 to make. I just wouldn't do it.
I'm just saying. Just throwing that out there.
Full color prints are almost $1 a page anyway.
You can get those for less. I know places where you can get color for like 39 cents.
It would be the same as doing a print-on-demand book, and that cost about as much as I can sell them for. Full color, it's about $15 a book.
No, I know. I mean, I was in that business, and so I know the expense of that, and I know that's why, like,
If I get the impression that I could actually pre-order the 250 that I would need to pay for the whole run, then I'll do it. But if not, I'm not going to do it. I'll wait until it makes more sense.
That's a lot of books.
I know.
So, I don't know.
I have about 9,000 readers, and I don't know if I could sell 250 books. I don't know if I could. So it might just have to wait to another time. I don't know. All I know is I'm going to do it right. So here's the other thing. I wouldn't make that much money off of them. So I'd better invest my time in shirts than...
Well, no, shirts should be a continuous thing. Because when I was at Threadless Store, I was just kind of poking around. I was like, so, you know, you guys, you know, we're and they're like, our warehouse is like 3 blocks down. Mm. They're like, and I was like, so who prints your stuff? They're like, oh, we use local printers because we don't like, you know, for proof and turnaround. They're like, we use 2 printers though. That way we can use competitive business against each other.
Yeah.
That way, if they want a better price, then they can go to somebody else, which allows them to have discounted shirts.
Yeah.
But they always have 2 printers and they always switch them around occasionally. You
know, I've always wondered what Woot does. Have you ever seen shirt.woot.com? It's the Woot model, but with shirts, and they're based here. Well, Woot's here in Carrollton, but the shirt company is in like Tennessee or something.
Whoa.
But, they have like 4 warehouses now. They're crazy rich. Shirt.woot, at least at one time, I don't know if they're doing it now, but they would pay an artist $1,000 for full rights forever for the design. They'd sell one shirt a day, $10. It's always $10. And the shipping's like $2 or something. And they just do such a huge volume, but it's a new design every single day, and once it's gone, you can never buy it again. Hmm. And they have voting on which designs should be sold or whatever. And I'm wondering how many, like, are they dealing in the tens of thousands or a few thousand?
They have a lot of that in Chicago. Like,
that's nuts.
Custom shirts, but they were all like iron-on type of shirts.
Yeah,
but they had these. They were actually not bad, the ones I looked at.
Well, wash them a few times and then...
Well, yeah, you're not supposed to, like, dry them. Like, some people who are not here.
Now, Josh throws his in
what you're talking about.
A pile of bricks in a sack and puts the whole thing in his dryer.
Josh comes from the college mentality of you just throw it all in the dryer and
turn everything all the way up. Yeah, turn it all the way up and then let it go.
I mean, it's got a dryer, right?
Yeah.
So heat means more drying.
Josh has the only Hijinks and Sue shirts I've ever seen that are destroyed. I'm actually wearing one right now that looks like the day I got it.
Yeah.
And Josh's look like they were distressed on purpose.
Right.
Anyway.
You just into that look.
Okay, so let's talk about...
Limited edition Josh.
You guys have not seen Religious by Bill Maher, have you?
No.
No,
I'm not a huge fan of Bill Maher, actually.
You don't have to be a fan of Bill Maher.
I almost went to see it twice now. Once with Josh, like the day before I was going to leave to Chicago. But I was like, I don't... Because we wanted to go see Choke, and then we both looked at the reviews, and we're like, it's not looking so good. And he's like, you want to see that other movie? And I was like,
It was great.
It's like, I really don't know if I feel like being pissed off right now.
It's not about... Okay, it's funny for everything but the last 20 minutes, and then the last 20 minutes is serious and frightening.
Right, and I don't want to be pissed off. I think that's why I didn't want to go, because I was like...
It's not uncomfortable in the way that, like, Borat is uncomfortable, even though the same guy directed it, but it's very confrontational. But he, for the most part, is very respectful. The purpose of the movie is Bill Maher travels around the country and asks extremely religious people from very different religions, like, to justify what they believe, and then, for lack of a better word, makes fun of them. But, in an intelligent way, and it's actually a comedy for almost the whole thing. Like, he goes to a church that's in a truck at a truck stop. Like, it's in the trailer of a truck, and truckers go in there and, like, have church while they're at that truck stop.
Oh my god.
And like Bill Maher's point is and I agree with this wholly, 100%. He summed up my views on religion exactly in this movie, is that your whole purpose is that you know exactly what's going to happen. You know exactly what God is, who he is, what it is. You know exactly how everything was created. You know exactly what happens after you die. My point is, I don't know, and nobody knows, because nobody fucking knows. And I'm okay with that.
Right.
He said that his whole point is doubt. Doubt makes more sense than faith. And it's a fantastic exploration of that idea. A lot of people were telling me, like, I don't want to see that because he's just going to be, like, getting up people's faces and, you know, being all confrontational. And it's just going to be, like, it's going to be like Michael Moore. And it was not like a Michael Moore movie. Even the things I agree with on Michael Moore, I still don't agree with his methods. But it's a very good exploration of the idea that why is faith better than doubt? Why do we associate someone saying it's my faith with it being great and okay?
Well, doubt is religion, because since, like you said, or, you know, you don't know what's going to happen after you die. You don't know what's going to happen or what is the cause for this and that. It's all doubt that drives religion. So without...
It makes you feel better to think you know everything.
Yeah, without doubt, you have to... I mean, without you can't have
religion
without
doubt. That's his point, though. The answer is doubt. The answer is being okay with not knowing and understanding that you are small enough to not know.
Well, and I think that's why maybe I wasn't terribly interested in seeing the movie. I mean, I'll probably see it at some point. I don't know if I'm going to want to watch it, because it's just going to upset me in the sense of, like...
It's upsetting when he goes and, like, visits senators and...
And he's like, I know this. Like,
they're telling him shit like... you know, about how America is based on Christianity. And he's like, yeah, most of the founding fathers were atheists. And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. And he's like, no, yeah, they were. Okay, yeah, I don't agree with that. He's like, it's not to be agreed with or not. It's just true. Huh, right. That's interesting. Anyway, moving on. Like, no one... The point was, every single person he talked to could not in any way justify why they believe what they believe. The answer might as well have been, like, because...
Right.
Just because. And that is the thing that I am always so furious about, is people that hate ideas and people that, it's just because. It's just how it is. This one guy that owns a store that sells, like, crucifixes and stuff, so he's capitalizing off of religion, but claims to be deeply spiritual. He's like, why do you believe in God? He goes, oh, I've experienced miracles. He goes, you have experienced miracles in your lifetime. Yes, miracles. Give me an example. Oh, there's just too many to name. Name one. I can't name any. There's just so many. Every day of my life. No. You've witnessed miracles. Unexplainable, miraculous events. Give me one that sticks out in your mind, if it was so miraculous. One time, I was at a party, and I said, hey, where's the water? And this guy was a real jerk, and he said, why don't you stick your cup out the window and pray for rain? And so I did, and it rained within 10 minutes. And he goes, yeah, but see, my explanation for that is that sometimes it rains. And that's called a coincidence. Nope, it's a miracle. He goes, no, it's coincidence. It rains all the time. Like, that's just how things are.
Yeah, and then that's where I start to get like, oh, God, like, dude.
But it's funny. It's funny.
It's funny. I think I have to be in the mood because, like, right now, as close as it is, what are we, like, less than a month away from the election? That it's just upsetting to me to see people like that.
They're gonna go through all their shit. He got to people that during the footage from the first Bush election where they're like a woman's like, I don't know anything about politics, but I'm gonna vote for God, and that means voting for Bush.
Right, exactly. And that's the part that I'm just like, oh, it such gives me tired head.
Yeah.
My head just wants to go to sleep.
Because the idea that what was that?
Caller?
Oh, caller? Tennessee? You're on the line. The idea that you should be able to believe anything you want and I should not be able to stop you as long as you're not hurting anyone. Many religions are centered around hurting people. Like, the idea that, you know, everyone that doesn't believe the way you do should be wiped off the face of the earth is pretty prevalent on the earth today. That's bad. But other than that, I don't care. I don't give a fuck what you believe. But do not take what you believe and then govern my country based on it. It just makes no fucking sense at all. We have such a lack of separation of church and state.
Yeah.
That it's terrifying. And, I mean, we have a president right now who won't be president for much longer, but he thinks God called on him to run the country. And that's not true, which means his entire presidency is based on a lie, which is already obvious. But it's just insane. The other thing that was really terrifying was he goes to the Vatican and gets thrown out of the Vatican, like physically lifted and thrown out of the Vatican.
That place is hardcore.
He was like, I'm in the Vatican and we've got a camera. Let's go find the Pope. And the camera like crashes down the stairs. And then he's like fixing his shirt. And he's like, okay, we're outside the Vatican now. He meets up with a priest who's like a top Vatican official. And this guy was so fucking cool. He's like, so what about all these people that that think you know, you gotta do good your whole life just so you don't go to hell? He's like, we don't believe that anymore. And he's like, that's the old stuff. We don't believe that. Well, what about these people that think that you know, God is Jesus and Jesus is the Holy Spirit and they're all the same thing? And you know, the Holy Trinity. I mean, that's like the foundation of Catholicism. Yeah, we don't believe that. The Virgin Birth? No, we don't. No, that's old. No one thinks that anymore. That's old thinking. We don't think that anymore. And his approach to it was like, we're running a business that's thousands of years old. We just have to keep it going.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I don't believe any of this shit. He was like a top Vatican priest, though. And he's like, no, listen, if you think that, you're stupid. What about these people that think the Earth is 6,000 years old? No, that's ridiculous. No. I was like, what the fuck? Like, if this guy can admit that kind of shit, but he went to the creation museum.
Oh god.
Where's that?
I don't remember what state it was in, but it's like the museum of how science and creationism are the same thing. The first thing he sees, and he interviews the guy that runs it, the first thing he sees is a fucking triceratops with a saddle. And he's like, I don't know if it's missing the dude, but I just want to point out that this triceratops has a saddle on it. So just there you go, you know. It showed dinosaurs, animatronic dinosaurs, eating bushes with, like, children playing right next to them. Like, la, la, la. Children robots, dinosaur robots.
Good God.
And the place cost, like, $7 million or something of
somebody hopefully actually got that money together.
Yeah. $7 million of hope just thrown away.
Of terribleness. It was definitely worth a watch, though, because sure, it's inflammatory. Sure, he's got a very one-sided viewpoint of it. In the end, he basically calls for the end of all religion before we destroy the Earth, which is certainly an extreme, but which is why I say the last 15, 20 minutes are not funny.
Well, that's kind of, I don't know, though. I took a philosophy class in college, and actually one of the best classes I ever took, because going back to what you said earlier about the doubt and the faith, and it's all kind of a balance, and that's basically what that whole class was about, Because we talked about all like the dogma and all the different kinds of major religions of the world and all that. And basically all of them kind of started very simply, like on like very simple tenets. And it's just the people like who started following around that needed the ritual, that needed.
Yeah.
And I actually am reading this one book. It's kind of philosophical, but more like autobiographical. And this lady gives tells this story about this priest, right? He has followers, actually more like a yogi that has followers. Like, they go around, they pray, but he has a little pet cat, right? And the cat just goes around and, like, bothers people when they're trying to meditate in silence. So every morning, they'll tie the cat outside so it won't go bother anybody. So, like, for years, they do this. And then one day, the cat dies. And the people are like, well, we can't get started praying until we have a cat to tie to the pole.
Right.
And it's just, it's kind of like, that's, kind of builds that off makes of that. So much sense because that's how most of, you know, most of religion
is. Well, Catholicism is like that in
hugely,
a big way
hugely.
In that, you know, people that are like, no, these are facts. These are facts from the Bible, which is a historical record. And then you're like, no, that was changed in 1532 when Catholic Church got together right. and decided to change that.
Actually,
and it's written record. I mean, we know for a fact when things were added, taken right. away, entire books were axed from the Bible
right.
because they were too inflammatory. And I mean, you consider this to be a historical record, but keep in mind, it's Wikipedia. People have been editing it for a thousand right. years.
And it's been translated and retranslated
yeah.
and all that. And even that, like, I don't think I was raised Catholic, and I don't necessarily think that, I don't know, we're not taught to believe that it's fact necessarily, like historical fact, but it's more like ritualistic than
yeah.
anything else.
Catholicism is more progressive
us.
Than a lot of people think. It's certainly
it
more
really
progressive
is, actually.
Than fundamentalism. But
I mean, nobody tells us that's how it really was. Because I mean, like, I went to Catholic school and they still taught us like evolution and things
well,
like that.
There's
so
a really
I mean,
funny thing in the movie where he's talking to a scientist. He's talking to one of the only like top scientists that he could find that was actually a Christian. And the guy's explanation for all the errors in the Bible, which is a good explanation if you're going to believe any of it, was that he goes, look at this chart. And the chart is like, okay, starting here, 5,000 BC, and then all the way up to, 1 AD. All right, this is the time encompassed in the Bible. It's 5,000 years of what I consider to be, you know, mostly history. Okay, skip ahead, you know, another, let's see, what would it have been? It's less than 500 years ago. It's like the last 200 years or so. He goes, okay, now here's all this time in between. Now here's the last 200 years. Here's all of modern science. Here's all of it. Now look at the gap between all modern knowing. I mean, forget about Galileo, forget about Copernicus, forget about the most basic things that we know. Look at modern science. Now look at all the space between that and the Bible. This is what there just was no science. There was no record keeping that was accurate. There's no, of
sure.
course, these events overlap, and of course, this didn't take so many days. Of course, this didn't happen. Of course, people didn't live to be 800 years old.
Sure,
it just they didn't know. They were just stupid. Just understand that. Put it in context. And Bill Maher's like, yeah, but I also think it's all full of shit too. So I mean, that's all good. And he's like, no, you know, and they have an argument or whatever, but. I mean, if you're going to think any of it's true, at least look at it from that perspective.
Sure,
that
sure.
The realm of knowing was still very small at that point. I mean, we didn't know anything
oh,
as a
yeah.
people. So,
well, I've always, when I was, like I said, I was raised Catholic. I've always been told to, like, see it as just stories that
yeah.
will guide your life and not as, like, well, this is how it really was.
The difference for me
really
being brought up
an arc
fundamentalist Baptist was that it was all 100% literal, 100% fact.
Really?
The earth was 7 days, you know, the universe was 7 days, the universe is 6,000 years old, and Noah was 892 when he died. And the other thing that's funny is Bill Maher points out the stuff that people just take for granted without realizing that it's either not in the Bible or not ever said by anyone with any authority on any sort of religion. For instance, nowhere in the Bible does it mention that Mary was a virgin. Ever. Not once.
Really?
And that was added later, not to the Bible, mind you, like to other gospels that are not in the Bible. And he's like, you think you're going to be like reporting a story about a baby born in a manger? And they're like, okay, what are the facts? And they're like, okay, baby born in a manger, wise men gave him gifts. Oh, and the mother was a virgin. Ah, I'll leave that out. Like,
right.
it's just additional shit. You know, they're just throwing shit in there. I mean, that should be the headline. Virgin Mother gives birth. Shit's all crazy. The world's coming to an end. But no, that's like, it's not even in there.
And, speaking of, do you remember you were going to talk about that shark?
Oh, I forgot about the shark. I had that too.
You didn't read about
that Jesus is a shark now.
Yeah. What? And then I was going
to say that, but
on top of the fact that last podcast we were talking about the religion that involved, what was it? It was that the church is inside of a shark and Josh shits for your sins.
Right.
And then I read that and I was like, oh my God, it's happening. True.
No, it's Jesus just came back as a shark.
That's actually awesome.
End of the story.
Yeah.
He's a great white.
Pooped out a shark that was a miracle shark.
That's pretty fucked up. Miracle shark is pretty fucking weird.
Yeah.
That is scary.
Well, they're going through all the testing and all that shit right now.
They're going to find that a guy fucked that shark.
Probably.
I mean, they're going to be like, no, there's no male shark DNA. And someone's like, check for human DNA.
That doesn't make sense.
Trust me.
If not, wink. Here's the used condom.
Yeah.
Wink. It has a hole. I got it. I wanted to get the shark pregnant.
So she'd stay with me.
So she wouldn't run away.
So there was this comedy group while I was in Chicago.
The Hot Carl.
There's a picture of that. And unfortunately, I'll have to blow this one
when
up.
When do you get a phone with a decent sized screen? Come on.
Well, when I get, when I can get rid of this plan, which will cost me $200.
Do it.
Which I don't want to spend right now. Because then my iPhone experience will be. My iPhone experience is going to be like $800 to get the goddamn phone, the service, and to get rid of this phone.
You want
to
see my revelation last night? I need to post this on the website.
Uh-oh.
I really need to post this. This is actually quite unusual for Texas. Okay, so I go to the 7-Eleven last night, and they had a stand sitting up next to the counter that said, "Cast your vote 08. And one side is a picture of Obama, and the other side has a picture of McCain. And there's various bullshit for sale, keychains and shit. So look at that.
Oh, wow.
The Obama side's empty, and the McCain side's full.
Oh, my God.
And this is in small-town Texas.
Wow.
That's bizarre.
That was the other thing that I found really interesting about Chicago when I was in the John Hancock Tower.
You keep saying cock.
Right. I went into their like little like gift shop. The word cock.
And the letter C.
Yeah, their little gift shop, because I was like, well, I'm just going to walk in there for a minute. And I just walked in there. And then, you know, standard shit. Like, you know, they got a pencil holder that's in the shape of the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, book ends that are in the shape of the building. But they had, like, tons of propaganda for Obama. Like, and it sold there, like, yeah, we're Democrats.
I thought you were going to say, like, cock rings, like John Hancock rings or something.
Well, like an Obama ring.
Oh, okay.
Obama cock ring.
A Hope cock ring.
Yeah. And they have like with the white person size.
Fuck for
too.
Change.
Yeah.
White what? Why did
because
you
it's
say?
Huge.
Well, the standard one's like this mic guard.
Right. And then you have to buy the
patrol.
The white person one.
So.
But the other thing that's so great about Chicago is you can walk around and just pick one of these up.
The Onion.
I love
that. Yeah, every major city other than Dallas.
Yeah, has this. Because they will refuse to put this. And I love how it's like the voter on issues on the bottom right. I love the chart.
Let's see. It's healthcare, 50-50. The environment. Oh, it's just twisted sideways.
It's just the same
it's
chart.
It's all 50-50.
Like rotated in different directions.
Police. iPhone left in hot car for 3 hours.
Yeah. This was the second one that they printed while I was there. Because they do it like once a week. And
they did
this one like old timey sort of look and
actually
feel.
Actually awesome.
Yeah, this one's awesome because it's like the old timey like newspaper.
I'm rereading my book now of
buy
the
some tape, sir?
the Onion's Our Dumb Century.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm gonna go grab it real quick. Talk about what's in that paper.
It's actually a really great. One of my favorite ones. I'll have to hold on.
There's all kinds of stuff in here.
It's really genius actually. Their writers are actually really exceptionally awesome. Local woman devotes life to doing God's busy work.
This one, the old timey paper one, says 40,000 pounds of slave have been aloft at sea. And I'm like, oh God.
That's pretty true. This one's my favorite one in the non old timey one. It says, looks like someone let a fair cat out of the wife bag. And in the whole article is about like little, just little catchphrases. I guess a little anyone who attended our last office party, Birdie told her. gossips. They shouldn't be sticking their accidentally walked in noses into other people's fucking in the break room business. That's how rumors get started. That's not like the whole article is just little like catchphrases.
I hadn't had a chance to go to this one, but it's the home run that cured cancer. Five amazing movie sports feats. And then number one is the... Oh, wait, no. The number five is... that one's dumb. Number four is the crane use in The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Number three is dumb. Number two is...
This is a bad list.
Oh, the number two is the limp-wristed javelin throw from Revenge of the Nerds.
That's awesome.
And number one is the triple Lindy from Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Never saw that.
You never saw that?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
So, I will recommend to anyone listening to pick up The Onion's Our Dumb Century. It's from a long time ago, actually. It's probably 6 or 7 years old. But what they do is basically go back and write a page of The Onion, the front page of The Onion, for one page for every year since 1900. So it's basically everything that's ever happened in the history of America.
Yeah.
Satirized by The Onion.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's fucking amazing. And I'm going to go through... The best part is the first 30 years, because it's like 1900s humor and,
yeah,
you know, earlier. So the page from 1907, you know, it's The Onion, Chanticleer of the Steam Epoch, only 225 dead this week from cholera. There's an ad at the bottom. It says, Dr. Crawford's Electric Liniment and Soothing Syrup. An unscrupulous few will extol the virtues of other soothing syrups. Eschew their nefarious claims, Dr. Crawford's... this is actually... Panacea is the finest obtainable in the Republic. Prevents and alleviates the common cold, fever, consumption, afflictions of the lungs, infections of the blood, rheumatism, constipation, coated tongue, torpid liver, jaundiced, childbirth... foul gases, ladies' complaints, Irish blood vomits, nervous headaches, hysteria, soreness of the parts, fallen arches, loss of appetite, dyspepsia, obesity, doldrums, the Crimean itch, flesh wounds, stoop back, corns, spastic colon, cancer, blackheads, gonorrhea, earwigs, the screaming shits, scrofula, wow, eruptions, delirium, tremors, night sweats, boils, eczema, dropsy, the feathers,
dropsy,
shingles, piles, hoof and mouth disease, tapeworm, bowel moths, tender bladder, and all kindred maladies. An excellent emulsion, whether internally or externally used, in full pint bottles, harmless. The whole thing's great, though. On the page for 1903... Science conquers the sky with Wright Brothers' flying machine. Heaven expedition slated for next year. Will death become a thing of the past?
That's awesome.
And then all the headlines are expounded in full articles. The one for the next year, when they discover dinosaur bones, is Skeleton of Satan Discovered. Bones found in Wyoming Indian lands. Theologian scientists can now discern the exact location of Lucifer's fall from heaven. There's a T-Rex skull.
That's great.
It's really good. Dr. Abernathy's anti-masturbation harness and genital pouch.
Oh.
Protects against sickness of self-abuse, unremovable sheet metal and steel bolt locking. Internal penis laceration feature. That's great.
Yeah, it was so great that I was like, the hotel across, or the place I was staying, I shouldn't even call it a hotel, the apartment that I rented out was across from like kick-ass Chinese food, and I picked up one of these and I was reading it. Well, I was like waiting for. This is why the writers are so genius. I don't remember where the article is, but I was reading it as I was sitting there, just laughing to myself. And there was like one other gay couple that was sitting in there while I was getting my food.
In addition to you, there was one other gay couple.
Right, one of the gay couple. Sure. But there's this article in here about this speech that was given by a guy talking about global warming. But the actual story itself revolved around that there was food in his large beard. And they're talking about how, like, he went on and on about, like, global warming, but...
Oh, it's in the very
beginning.
It's
just commentary on how he had chunks in his beard.
They're like, we're not able to, like, determine exactly what was in his beard. Like, they just go on and on about the beard.
Okay, I found it.
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Man with food in beard saying something about climate change. Geneva. A man with a piece of food stuck in his beard is currently addressing an auditorium full of world leaders and prominent scholars on what seems to be the subject of global warming, sources are reporting. The food particle has been dangling from the man's facial hair for more than an hour while he has mentioned such phrases as sulfides, ice caps, immediately, otherwise we all may, underwater tomb, and of human life as we know it. It was briefly dislodged during a particularly animated portion of the presentation in which complete global apocalypse was remarked upon, only to fall 1 inch and reattach to a lower portion of the beard. The exact nature of the crumb has yet to be ascertained. Some are speculating that it is aioli. Others, however, believe it to be a bit of chewed up turkey.
That's from The Onion?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just one of their smaller articles, and I'm sitting there like waiting on my food, and I just start cracking up because I'm like, God damn, that's great.
That's funny. I want to get really quick to some of the questions that we skipped over, and then I'll be at the end of this here post show. That's actually one that I meant to answer. He's not going to be listening, so I'm not going to go that one. Let's see. We did that one. We did. Will Eli have a holiday Flickr stream to share with us? I think he means of the vacation.
Holiday?
I think he means your holiday.
He must be your.
I think he's UK.
I put it in.
Doing on your holiday.
I put it in the chat. And then you can put it up in the post notes, I guess, or in the show notes.
Matt Mardigan says, "What type of rock star would you be? Jonathan Colton, Tommy Lee, Jimi Hendrix. What kind of rock star would you be?"
Because I like Wilco, I'd have to be a Jeff Tweedy.
So drunk and reclusive?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
Because, he's makes good music, but you never really see him in the spotlight. But he hates everything.
Unless he beats somebody up.
He's
got to get in fights. Look at his face.
No, he's yeah. He's one of those, if you really look at him, he's one of those, you come up to him, and then he's like, He doesn't look mean at all.
They never tell you about when I
talks a big game, but that's about it.
They never tell you the first time I met Rivers Cuomo.
You met him?
Yeah.
Shut up.
After a show. I mean, a lot of people met him, but okay, this was their first show of their first tour since Pinkerton came out. It was 6 or 7 years after their last show.
Okay.
They've been broken up forever. And he's nuts. I mean, he's absolutely nuts. Right now he's obsessed with meditation. He meditates for 3 or 4 days at a time, and he doesn't own anything, and he's just a weird dude.
Didn't he grow up in a compound or something?
No.
Or one of those cult things?
No, his parents were super hippy-dippy, though. He had a weird childhood. But he was extremely reclusive, lots of social anxiety, wouldn't do interviews, very scared of everything. So we're there 6 hours early to just hang out and see if we're going to meet anybody. During that time, the whole band came out and hung out with us. A long time, and,
cool.
And there's 20 other people there, and it was, but he never came out of the bus. So at one point, they roll the wind, we see a window slide down, and he jumps out of the bus window, runs around to the back of the club, runs and then slams the door, and we're like, "Was that Rivers? What the fuck just happened?" Those buses are 18 feet tall.
Oh my god,
the windows are tiny. So then later, we see him dart back across the street. He runs across the street away from the fans to the opposite building, hides behind a trash can, and then runs to the bus and jumps back up into the same window to avoid 15 people that were standing in front of the door. That night, after the show, this is when they still wouldn't play any songs from Pinkerton because he was too scared that they were too emotional or whatever. After the show, 300 people are waiting on the back door. And the band comes out the back door, and they all get greeted, and they eventually make their way to the bus. Rivers gets swarmed. But no fans have had any contact with him in almost a decade. I mean, they were really anxious to meet him, but being pretty disrespectful. They were, literally crowding around him to where he couldn't move. He had no path of escape. His face turned sheet white. His eyes were the size of saucers. He was freaking the fuck out.
Uh-huh.
And people were like, tell me this, tell me who's your favorite, what's your favorite band? I like your songs. I like Undone the Sweater Song. I like Pinkerton's favorite album. Blah, 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 blah. And the crowd is just getting tighter and tighter and tighter around him. And he's in this tiny little hole. And he's trying to sign stuff and he can't move. And he looked like he was about to literally explode, like his body parts were going to combust and fly apart. And I think at one point, a few people actually like tried to make some room for him and push people back. But people were just like reaching at him, jabbing at him, and like, oh no, Sarmacity, I'll kill you! And he like eventually made a break for it and just ran to the bus and like ran away. And like runs off. It was fucking weird. So yeah, I would not be that kind of rock star.
Yeah,
I guess that was my answer. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to do that.
It was weird. I think we got to all the rest of them. Let's see.
Can I just quickly then tell the one story?
Go
to all of them.
Yeah, then we'll be done.
So I'm sitting at the in the Gayborhood.
Yes.
Of Dallas, which is called Boys Town, because my friend Cassidy was telling me that. She's like, we always go down to the gay pride parade thing. She's like, it's so much fun. So I'm sitting, and I Twittered that I'm having breakfast and in the Gayborhood. I forget the name of the place, but it was really good. And it was because I wanted to go to these Kid Robot stores and all these like comic shop stuff. So I got up.
What's Kid Robot?
The little robot, like the little dunnies and all that stuff.
I have no idea. I'm just out of loop on that.
Wow. Because that's...
You're like geek art.
Yeah, it's really, like really awesome geek art.
I believe you.
Just look up Kid Robot.
Okay.
You'll find it. But anyway, so I'm sitting there. Oh, I get up early, and I go to these places because this is on the this is the last day that I'm there. And it turns out Chicago doesn't actually get up and get going until about 11.
Like the whole city?
Yeah, I was like, I got up, and I'm like, well, I'll go hit this place about 10, then I'll go down to Wicker Park, and then I'll go down to downtown. I get there, and I'm like, what the fuck? And the signs are all like, yeah, we open at 11. Or we
like,
open...
Like stores and restaurants and shit?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Most places are like that. And everybody is out running. That town is like... You know, we always wonder, like, who the fuck runs in a marathon? Who trains for a marathon? Fucking all of Chicago. That whole place just runs. Everybody's like there, like in their running shoes and their iPods. And
they're
wanna,
piping in the music.
Man, you want to talk about... I've never seen so many earbuds for iPods in my life.
Manhattan was like that.
Chicago's like that as well. Like everywhere you look, you see... Because
no one's
over.
Got a car stereo.
Well, no
everyone
one
has
a car.
An iPod. Yeah, everyone's got an
everyone's
iPod.
Like... So anyway, I Twitter that I'm like eating at this really good breakfast place. It seemed to be the only one open in the area. And I Twitter like, I'm eating in the Gayborhood. It's great. You know, blah, blah, blah. And Josh Twitters back with, I dare you to go into Steamworks.
Right, I saw that.
Okay, and so I'm reading this magazine, which is called the Gay Chicago Magazine. And I grabbed it because it was at the door. And it was something to read and kind of thumb through.
Plus you're gay.
So I'm reading through all this, and then I read that, and I reply back to Josh saying, is that like Iron Man? What is that? And it turns out Josh replies with like, if you want a blowjob, just go in there. It's for, that's really
that's what, it's
what it is. So I'm like, oh, whatever. And I turn this over, and I lay it down like on the table. And I throw it down, and...
There's an ad for
there's
Steamworks.
There's an ad for Steamworks right
A guy
there.
Holding his balls.
He actually, there's something in his...
A poorly like a, wadded up sock.
Oh, no, that's a tattoo. That's what that is. I was like, there's something right there. It's like a tattoo on his belly. It's like a male target. And,
yeah, it's like pointing to his junk. Like,
right.
Here's where you want to go.
Right. At Steamworks.
It's for efficiency so, when you go into Steamworks.
I gotta say... I guess I'm glad Josh isn't here.
If you look at some of the...
Because I find this kind of behavior abhorrent. I don't care who's doing it. But if you walk into a establishment and you're like, hey, I need the blowjob from a random stranger. Where do I do that? That's just terrible.
I don't know. It keeps the economy going, I guess.
Oh, I doubt they pay their taxes.
No, I'm. Then would guess that they
wow,
probably
that
stay
dicks.
On top of that. Yeah,
there is just dicks everywhere in this.
And when I was walking down to the Threadless store, the main little office for this magazine was like just down the street from Threadless,
huh.
Which was awesome. Yeah,
oh,
around
hey.
There, around there, nobody cares. I mean,
hey.
It's awesome.
I bet you can find some great stuff in the personal.
That's trainer. What I was going to read to you. Just pick anyone and read it.
Personal swim trainer. As a longtime coach of elite performers, my business is now bringing non-swimmers... Is that a code?
Yep.
Fitness level skills. Workout partners with a Z. Therapeutic massage. You know what that means. incredible massage, massage and shave, choice massage, beefy farm jock. Get ready for an intense, naked, hour-long session of body work from a well-built, athletic, former farm boy.
I'm not sure what body work is. It sounds like massage, maybe, but they have a different section for massage.
Yeah, it ends with your dick. I think it starts there, too.
Oh. I'll have one of those.
Well, then you can't have their services. Yeah. Discrimination. I don't know. There's just something about anonymous sex that I don't find that appealing.
That's good.
That I guess a lot of these people, like, do.
Make some people happy.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. I think it's less destructive than having your government based on one person's religious views. So maybe if we had our government based on, anonymous sex.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. If everybody get laid more.
Yeah, that's when Clinton was in and it was
that's true.
Pretty kick-ass.
That is true.
Things seemed
best economy.
We had surplus. What was called a surplus.
Yeah. Did you know that we simultaneously had a surplus and a deficit?
We always are in a deficit.
Yeah, but I
mean, no matter, even if we.
I mean,
are,
where's this? How do you have a surplus? Even if you still owe all the
even
money.
Even if we're even, we're $2 trillion in debt.
Yeah, but right now we're like we $7 trillion in debt.
We're $56 trillion in debt.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
What? Are you serious?
We're
what?
40. No, we're 20. We're $20 trillion in debt, and then there's 40 unaccounted for that.
We don't know where we spent the money. Or
well, it's not. It's not accounted to that. So it comes out to about a total of $56 trillion.
Hang on, I'm looking this up now because I don't believe you. U.S. national debt clock. $10,273,062,000. Hang on. $10,273,062,264,891.38.
Right, but there's still another 40 that's not accounted to that. On top of that,
the national debt has continued to increase on an average of $3.34 billion a day since September 28, 2007. There are about 300 million people in America. I thought it was 600. I was wrong. 300 million people in America. Each citizen's share is about $33,000 that we owe to other people.
Yeah, they said even if we are dead even, we're like $2 trillion in debt.
I don't understand the economics of how you could ever have a surplus when you still owe all of your money elsewhere.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I believe they call it voodoo economics.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, doo-doo economics. I understand. Right. So there you go. Hijinks Suit Podcast, post show number 32 wrapped up. I'd like to remind you that episode 32 was brought to you by Lucky Strike Cigarettes. Children, smoke them if you got them. By the Steamworks in Chicago. That's with a W-O-R-K-S, not an X like you might think.
Correct.
And just go there, ask for quick tricks. Mention Hijinks and Sue and get $1 off a 4-hour locker rental. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And take care of yourself, America.
And each other.
And each other. What is that from?
Keep
Jerry
reaching
Springer.
For the stars.
Oh, yeah. Keep reaching for the stars. Take care. I just showed you the most deplorable things humanity has to offer. Take care of yourself and each other. Fucking Springer. That's ridiculous. All right, we're out.
Show, 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 show,